I'm sure when you grew up, you were kind of like me, and you were guilty of putting a little piece of the paper on someone's back. And what did it usually say? Kick me. Yeah, you remember those days, right? Yeah. And you probably remember somebody you had a conversation with that you were trying to tell them something they just could not believe. And they would say to you, what is it? What's written on my forehead? What are these? You must think stupid is written on my forehead. And that's kind of what the message today is about. It's about letting others know who we are. It's about, this message is really for those who believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We've come to a place in our life where we said yes to God. Yes, Lord. I believe in your way. I believe that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin. Yes, I want Him to be my Savior, not just the Savior of the world. So if you know the Lord Jesus, then this message applies very directly to you today. And if you don't know Him, you may be confused. Because the number one thing you need to get out of today's message is God wants a relationship with you. The word for love there is the idea that God wants to be in a close relationship with you, not a distant one. Today's message is really directly to the children of Israel. It's about Israel. But there's application to each of us who know the Lord through Jesus Christ. If you look at turning your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 11, I'm going to try to just fly through there and then go through the outline. Chapter 11, it sounds similar to what we've been looking at. They're getting ready to go into the Promised Land. They're getting some final instructions. It says that it came to pass, right after he talks about how wonderful God's going to take care of them in the Promised Land, it comes to pass that if you shall hearken diligently to my commands, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, there's that intimate relationship, and to serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. If you do that, if you will do that, if you seek the Lord, if you submit to Him, if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to you. That's what it's saying there. He's asking the people of Israel, hey, if you will draw yourself to me, then when you go into the Promised Land, then things will be great. You might have seen the title of the message today, which is Obedience. And the subtitle is Making It Rain. You say, really? We can make it rain? No, not by these Indian dancers that dance in there and yell and scream and maybe cut themselves. No, not like that. But this connection we see is to God's blessing flows when we're obedient to Him. It's not salvation, but it's enjoyment of your salvation. Enjoyment of what God has promised you. There's a connection there. And the connection continues. That love that we have for Him makes it easier to obey. And the obedience then says, if we obey, then what happens? It says that if we do that, verse 15, I will send grass in thy fields for their cattle, and that thou mayest eat and be full. Oh, I love that. It's talking about cattle eating the grass, but us eating the cattle. Ha! Now, some people don't really understand the Bible at all, evidently, because they believe that, oh, we're supposed to be vegetarians. Yeah, not exactly. Especially not after the flood. And definitely here we find, and yes, go all the way back to Genesis chapter 9, we find people eating steak. In fact, the Lord Himself ate steak. So if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. I do think I might join the PETA group, people eating tasty animals. But that's all I was thinking about this week. It says that the Israelites were going to obey, then God would send them all this. He would send the rain, in verse 14, on their land. That's the first rain, the latter rain. There's a lot of meaning there we'll skip through. And that you may gather the corn and the wine and your oil. You see, the corn, the wine, and the oil really comes into play. Because if God gives it to us, we give Him the praise. if we think we can get it some other place, then we'll give that the praise. And so there's a connection that he's trying to make here between who supplies what you love? Who supplies the things that you need? Who gives you your luxuries as well as your needs? It's God in heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But wait, it says here, take heed to yourself, verse 16, take heed to yourself that your heart be not deceived. What's the deception? Deception is that some other thing is producing the things that you need. Someone else. It says that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Why would you do that? Why would you even bring it up? Because there are gods of that area, little g, that say that if you worship them, and especially in the immoral way that they want you to worship those gods, they will somehow make your crops grow, somehow make your vineyard prosperous, give you all that you need and some things that you want. You see, God doesn't want anyone else to take the credit. When he takes care of his children, he wants his children to understand, yes, thanks, Father, you have provided that. And he said, but take heed, it's going to be sometimes tempting because you get all these people here that are ungodly, don't know the Lord, and they're reaping benefits. They're doing great. Well, maybe I need to do what they're doing because they obviously are doing better than I am. That's true even today, right? Christians look around and go, hey, I'm trying to do everything right, but yet my business doesn't flourish. But over here, this guy's a jerk. Doesn't know God. Pagan in all his ways. And look at how rich he is. That's come our faith comes in. We need to realize that our God's a good God. He will take care of us. Quit looking at what others have and look what God is doing for you. It says in verse 17, if we turn to other gods, then the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you. And he will shut up the heavens, and there shall be no rain, and that the land will yield not her fruit. And you will perish quickly from off the good land. Talking about the nation, no longer be able to keep the promised land. Why? Because they turned their backs on God. And unfortunately, we know the history already, how it turned out. It's exactly what happened. How in the world can we keep the faith? How can we stay right with God and keep giving him the credit? Well, he gives us directions. Look what he says. He says, therefore, you shall lay up these words in your heart. And that means to keep them, but not only to keep them, but to obey them. He said, in your soul, your heart is usually talking about your mind. Your soul is talking about your physical being. Think godly. Behave godly. Think scripturally with the word of God up here. Do what it says over what the world's trying to tell you. And then do what is right. Apply it. And then it says here, bind them for a sign upon your hand that they may be like frontlets between your eyes. He's talking about, hey, you need a reminder somewhere. And so they took it seriously. And so they came up with this picture right here. Can you hit the picture? Advance it one. There you go. This thing's called, you notice a little box on his head there? And he's got all that leather wrapped around his arm? This is to remind them of God. Remind them to give God the credit. Reminds them to go to prayer. And in their prayer, there should be thanksgiving. These are called phylacteries, big old fancy word. Right? And so you got the one up here, and that's really kind of showing that keep this in your mind. God's word needs to have free roam in your brain. Some people are starving your brain where it doesn't have enough of God's Word. Memorize God's Word. Hold it. Recite it. Sing it. Do whatever it takes. Keep it running around in your head. Not only that, he's got them wrapped around his hands so that every time he tries to do a duty or whatever he moves, however he moves, he's reminded, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be praying. Oh yes, prayer is important. Prayer keeps me focused on the reality that God provides. Give God credit for the good things in my life. You see, all these things were supposed to help them not only enjoy the land, but also to please the Lord. Verse 17 had said that when the Lord is upset, it says the Lord's wrath be kindled against you if you turn to those other gods. That picture, it's a word picture, is nostrils with flame coming out. That's the picture. It means that God's nostrils flared and furious. We don't want that. We want God's blessing. So how do we do that? Well, one thing we do is we remember to pray. We remember to give Him the credit. Then we go on and it goes to describe other things like on the doorpost of your house have God's word written. Why? Because you say, this belongs to the Lord. His word belongs here. It flows freely here. It's welcome here. But not only on the posts of your house, it says on your gates. The gates would represent the community, the close community, whether it be a church community or be a town or however it might be, that we live according to God's word. Well, it's so tough to reach way out and have an impact on the whole nation of the United States. But we can do something about our house. We can do something about our church. We can even impact our community. And God calls us to do that. He says, do all this that your days may be multiplied, that you might be longer on the promised land. They may enjoy the place of blessing. Verse 22, for if you shall diligently keep all these commands I command you, if you preserve them, if you hold on to them, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to cleave to Him, then what happens? Well, if we cleave to Him and do all what He told us to do, hold on to His commands, then it says that the Lord will do amazing things. In their case, He's going to dispossess those other pagan nations, and He's going to give the Israelites the place to possess. Gives a description here. They'll get the full land. Do you realize that Israel has never really fully enjoyed all the promised land because of their disobedience? They would have enjoyed so much more. And hopefully they will in the future. Verse 25 wraps it all together and says, there shall no man be able to stand before you. You have victory coming your way. Because how and why? God will stand up for you. God will fight for you. Can God really work with pagans? God has the ability to reach in the heart of the hardened, most hardened sinner. He can give them fear, as it says here. He will, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you. You see, reach down in the actual emotions and mental state of those we would consider our enemies. God can reach even hearts that are of stone and full of hate. It says that you will tread upon. They use the word tread upon. I think it might come back to their memory. They're thinking about their sandals. Do you remember about their sandals? For all those years walking around in the wilderness. And then we're out. And He says, hey, every place you put those sandals that haven't wore out in how many years, that it's going to be yours. I'm going to give it to you. Whoa, man. They might even start doing a little dance in those sandals. This is a good time. God's promising this. And it's just the same exact description of the land that we found in Genesis 15 and verse 18 and following. It's the same land. So how can we apply this obedience to our lives, those of us who know the Lord? Well, I think God is looking for obedience from us as well. He desires us to obey rather than sacrifice. An obedience that includes three parts, at least, that we can find in this text today. And that is, it includes our calling. An obedience to the calling that God has called us to. Secondly, an obedience that includes our confession. And what I mean by confession is what we say we believe. Like the Westminster Confession. It's a statement of belief. And then thirdly, obedience that includes our clinging. I think the more we can cling to God and love Him, the easier obedience will become. Well, we know that because it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, that when we love God, obeying Him is a lot easier. Wow. So I really just need to focus on clinging to God and resting in Him. So what about that calling? An obedience to a calling. A calling that is about our help. God has for us a duty. We're still on the earth. Why? simply because God still has work for us to do. He wants to be co-workers together with us. Secondly, a calling that is about our heart. About our heart. We are being called to love the Lord. But not only love Him, but have a mental understanding of who He is. To recount all His goodness to us. That's why we find the word remember so many times in Scripture. And then thirdly, a calling that is about our homage. Where we put our loyalty. Where we will bow to. Who will bow to and who we won't bow to. God says, just bow to me and none other. Just be loyal to me over everyone else. Secondly, an obedience that includes our confession. A confession that's evident in our head. Evidence in our head. It talks about our head. About the fact that we need to think like God wants us to think. Boy, if we could hear whether or not you believe that God created the earth as He says in Genesis or not. Did He? Well, I hope you say yes, because that's what the Bible says. Right? If you believe that God did exactly what He said in the Bible, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the wages of sin may be death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's our confession, that which is in our head, what we believe. A confession not only evident in our head, but evident in our heritage. If we're not teaching our kids, then we really don't believe it. Because the Bible seems to be very clear in that our kids need to know about God. That's where they learn it from, the parents. And so many times, faith is not just taught, but it's also caught. So we need to love the Lord our God with all our hearts. And let our kids see that our homage is with Him. A confession that's evident not only in our head and our heritage, but also in our house. When people enter a house, do they know we're Christians by just the way our house looks? I think it ought to. I think it ought to pronounce the fact that we're believers. We believe in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, an obedience that includes our clinging. And it's a clinging that supplies us with steering. As we cling to God, as this koala is clinging to that guy's ankle, isn't that the cutest thing you've ever done seen? I mean, it's hanging on. Can you kind of visualize yourself doing that with God? Just hanging on? Yeah, things are moving, it's scary, but I'm hanging on. Because I know wherever God is, good stuff happens. A clinging not only supplies us with direction or steering, but it also supplies us with strength. Strength. I don't know about you, but sometimes my strength seems awful small. Seems so wore out. So tired. Sometimes just getting up and getting the TV remote wears me down. But with God, He continues to supply the strength that we need for each and every day. And then thirdly, a clinging that supplies us with security. With security. Hey, I'm so glad that our God has provided a way that is secure. That is 100%. It's not by chance. It's not I hope. But it's a hope that is sure. And we look forward to that hope, don't we? Jesus Christ coming back gloriously from heaven to take us to be with Him. I really like John Maxwell said his sermon for today, and that is true success in life is when we obey God. That's really a good definition of success. Am I obeying God or not? Because everything else doesn't matter. Or everything else is tied to that, whether I'm going to obey Him or not.